sermon entitled Covered by the Anointing. And I began, okay, God, I'll preach on the anointing. And I began to think about it, and I began to process it in my mind. And Tuesday came along, and I was like, okay. And Tuesday night, I'll just be honest, I was standing in the shower, and I was thinking about being covered by the anointing. And God said, here's what I want you to do. And I said, whoa, what do you mean you want me to do? God says, I want you to show a visual illustration in this sermon. And some of you have been around for a little while. I went, whoa, time out, God. I haven't done that in almost a year. And God said, it's time. And I said, God, if it's your will, that's okay, but are you sure? And I went back and forth with God. So God told me that this sermon was going to be something that I would remember and something that you will remember. And he began to pour this sermon into my life. And I'm telling you, I want you to get ready. Before we even get into reading the first scripture, before we get into anything, I want you right now to block everything else out of your mind. Because if you will let God grab a hold of you with the word that I'm about to give, the way that God has grabbed a hold of me, this sermon will change your life. I'm not going to change your life. My delivery is not going to change your life. But I'm telling you, God has sent for us today a life-changing sermon. And I want you to understand it. I want you to know you're here for a reason. God chose you to be here today. God chose you to be here today. If somebody's not here, that's their problem. God didn't choose them to be here today. But he chose you to be here. And I want you to get ready for what God's about to do. I want you right now to begin to open up your ears and open up your mind. And I want you to say, God, change me. Right now, I want you to open your Bibles. Amen. Praise the Lord. The first Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. I'm going to be reading this morning from the New Living Translation through all of our verses. It's what the word of the Lord says. It says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him being David, in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. And Lord, I pray that you would pour out your anointing on our spirit. Pour out your anointing on our flesh. Pour out your anointing on our existence. And Lord, let the Spirit of God rest on us from this day forward. Lord, I give you all the glory. I give you all the praise. I give you all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. This scripture falls in the middle of a very familiar story in church circles. Most of us know who King David was. And we understand that King Saul had lost the favor of God, had the anointing of God was removed from King Saul's life. And Saul and God spoke to Samuel and said, I want you to go to Jesse's house, and I want you to anoint the next king, for one of his children will be the next king. And Samuel went down and told Jesse, I want to have a feast with you. And he come into Jesse's house, and he asked Jesse to bring his sons before him. And Jesse brought the oldest one, and he was a tall, strapping, good-looking guy, much like myself. You ain't confirmed yet. And he walked in, and Samuel looked at him and said, oh, that's him. I know what the king looks like when I see him. And God said, uh-uh. God told Samuel, that's not the right one. Samuel said, well, bring in the next one. They brought in the next one. Again, a nice-looking young man. He goes, oh, if that wasn't him, it got to be him. And God said, nope. Again, nope. Samuel's like, God, what is your problem? Don't you see what I see? You know, sometimes we look around and we think, oh, that's the one. This is the one. That's the one. And God's saying, no, not yet. But then God said, quit looking at the outside. Start looking at the inside. He says, I'm about to do something with somebody. And before I can let my anointing rest on them, they have to be a man after my own heart. From the inside out, they have to be different if I'm going to give my anointing to them. They went through all the sons, and there was no one that God approved to Samuel. Samuel looked with amazement and asked Jesse, said, is this everybody? And Jesse goes, well, everybody but that little shepherd boy that we have out in the field, David. But it wouldn't be him. Many of you remember several years ago now, I preached a message on who's still out there. Samuel stood back and said, go out and get the young lad and bring him in, and we won't even sit down until he gets here. And a few years ago, I preached a sermon called Who's Still Out There? Asking who was still out there we haven't brought in yet that's going to win this city. Who's still out there that's going to turn things around? Who's still out there that we haven't met yet that's going to change the world? We better not sit down. We better not get comfortable until we go get the one we've left outside and bring them into the house of God and prepare them to be anointed. When David walked in the house, the Bible said he was of ruddy complexion and young and small. And most scholars believe he was somewhere 14, 15 years old. And he walked in that room and God said, that's him. And we get to the verse that I read tonight, or this morning. And Samuel takes a horn of oil and he pours it onto David and anoints him. And the Bible says in this verse that I read today, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. When the anointing covers your life, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you from that day forward. I want you to understand something. When we talk about being covered in the anointing, we are talking about the symbolism and the power of being covered by the Holy Ghost. We're talking about an anointing where the Spirit of the Lord rests upon our life. And in David's situation, and I believe what God intends is that when the Spirit is poured upon us, that it rests on us from this day forward. It's not something that comes and goes. It's not something that's here and there. Once we've been walking that anointing from this day forward, there's some things that we need to know about the anointing. If I was to make a poll of this crowd, I could ask you, how many of you want to be covered by the anointing of God? And most of you would go, me? How many of you would want to be covered by God's power instead of living by your power? How many of you want God's anointing and God's Spirit to guide your decisions, to guide your blessings? How many of you want God's blessings to be what you live in? How many of you want God's work to be what's flowing out of your hands instead of your work? How many of you are tired of giving what you got and want God to give what He's got? Come on now. I'm going to tell you, I've already told Sister Anna I'm going to make her move because I can't have her and Ann sitting together. Got to spread out the shouters. I'm going to wind up preaching over here. They're louder. So y'all need to bring it up a little bit. But this morning I want to talk for a few minutes about the things that we need to know about the anointing so we can be covered by the anointing. The first thing I want us to see is that the anointing is not optional. See, a few weeks ago, I would have said, what's wrong with the American church is, but I've decided I'm going to quit saying that. I'm going to start saying, what's wrong with us is that we think the anointing is optional. Oh, well, I just don't really want that right now. No, that kind of stuff just not for me. Man, I love to see Ann, you know, yelling and screaming and hooting and hollering, but that's just not for me. I love to see people getting healed and delivered. I'm telling you, I sat down in Jerry Griffin's home the other day, and I got there. He started telling me what he wanted me to do at his funeral. Time I left, he goes, "You know what? You might not need to know that. I feel better." And praise God, talked his way right out of a funeral plan. I loved it. And sometimes we think, "Oh man, I'd love to be healed, but man, not today. I'd love to have power. I'd love to walk in anointing, but not today. I don't want to pay the price." So you let them have that. And I'm going to sit here and watch. You know what's wrong with you in this church? Too many of you have decided that you're okay being spectators of the anointing instead of participators in the anointing. Too many of you decided it's okay and it's enough fun just to watch people get it. Oh, I know it's fun. I grew up in Pentecostal church. Ain't nothing more fun than watching a good shout hit somebody. And they start... I remember being a kid, and there was a guy in our church, he'd get to shout, and he'd go. As long as I wasn't standing next to him, I thought he was great. He almost punched one guy one time. I've been there. But too many times, we spend our lives sitting on the sidelines, especially in the Pentecostal world, thinking, oh, we had church because somebody else has shouted. But I'm going to tell you, the anointing of God is not optional. It's not something you can make a choice about. It's not something, oh, well, I want it or I don't want it. No, no, the anointing of God is mandated. There is a requirement. You have to walk. You have to move in the anointing. You have to move in the power. You have to move in the grace and the mercy of God. You have to trust God. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 8, the Bible says, "Then he, being Moses, poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head, anointing him and making him holy for his work." I've come by here today to tell you that the Lord mandated the anointing for the priest. Priests could go into the Holy of Holies before they could walk into the presence of God. The priest had to be anointed. They had to have the anointing. Why? Because they had to be made holy. They had to be made righteous. They had to be made holy for their work. Can I tell you that you have been called to a work today? You have been called to an assignment. Everybody in this building has a calling from God. Everybody in this building has an assignment of God. Everybody in the sound of my voice has been chosen by God to do a work for God. And the anointing of God is not optional in your life, Bori. It is mandated that you walk in the anointing to be holy for your work. You have been mandated to move away from the sin, to move away from the pain, to move away from the doubts and the fears. You have been obligated and mandated to be covered with an anointing that brings peace and deliverance and freedom and power to do the work that God has called you to do. This is not an optional thing. It is a mandatory thing. You can't decide you don't want it. It's too hard. Oh, it takes too much energy. It takes too much power. It takes too much strength. Oh, I've got news for you. The anointing that I'm talking about has been mandated by God so that when we become covered in the anointing of God, we can begin to do the works of God. The Bible said that Peter got up on the day of Pentecost and said, "This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh." You know why? and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will see. What he was saying, the anointing of the Holy Ghost is going to pour into your life, but it's coming in for a reason. It's coming in as a mandate to prepare you to be holy for your work. The reason some of you have a problem in your life is you have not been willing to be covered by the anointing. You have not been willing to let the anointing take over your life. You want to be in charge. You've decided that you're not sure about all this thing. I mean, really, is the anointing really all that important? Let me tell you something. The anointing is not insignificant. The anointing is not insignificant. Some of you think, well, I can do it without the anointing. Ooh, let me talk to my musicians in the house. I can talk to you and about you because I ain't one. Y'all have heard me try. More and more and more times I run into problems with musicians. You know why? Because they think they can do it without the anointing. Oh, I can play the keys. I can sing the notes. I can play the guitar. I can bang the drums. I can, you know what? There's all kinds of people who can play pianos and sing songs and play instruments, but there is something about an anointed musician. You see, the anointing is not insignificant. You need the anointing. Oh, let me talk to us preachers for a second. Oh, some of us think because we know how to raise our voice and we know how to get a little excited, and when you're a church of God, a Pentecostal preacher, if you know how to talk with a little rasp, and you can go after every other word, little Mary had a little lamb, his fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Now, we can preach it, don't mean it's anointed. Let me talk to you teachers a little bit. Some of you think that because you can get up in front of a class and you can talk and you can make your expressions known that you're anointed. Your anointing is what makes the difference. The anointing is not insignificant. We can talk without being anointed. We can preach without being anointed. We can sing without being anointed. But all we're doing is talking. All we're doing is preaching. All we're doing is singing until we find the importance and the meaningfulness of the anointing. See, the anointing is not insignificant. The anointing is meaningful. It has a purpose. In every life, and in every situation, the anointing brings meaning to your life. If you're wandering around and you're saying, I don't know what I need, I don't know how to do, let me tell you, what you need to do is grab a hold of the anointing of God. When you become covered by the anointing of God, then all of a sudden the power of God comes. In Mark chapter 14, we hear a story. I want to read one verse of scripture here. Jesus is reclining in a home in Bethany, the home of Simon. Meanwhile, while Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy, while he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard. And she broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. She walked in with her alabaster box of expensive perfume. And she broke it open and she anointed the head of Christ. Oh, now there were those in the room that said, how wasteful is that? That wasn't that important, and we could have done something else with that. Ooh. How many times have we looked around the church and said, oh, we don't need all that crazy stuff? Oh, now we don't need all that loud stuff. Now, why does the pastor get up there and get loud and start shouting and screaming? Why does he want us all to yell amen and hoot and holler? We don't need all that craziness in the church. I'm going to tell you, Jesus' response was, they said we could feed the poor. He said, the poor you'll always have, but I won't always be here. She has come and worshiped me. She has prepared me. The anointing was meaningful. I needed that anointing to be prepared for what I'm about to do. I've come by here today to tell you, you need the anointing to prepare you for what you're about to do. I know we're going through transition time in our church. I know we're looking around and going, who's here and who's not here? I got news for you. Don't get all carried away. We still got a lot of people on vacation. Some of you think, man, I wouldn't be here. Yeah, a lot of them will be back. Some of them ain't. Can I tell you what that means? Every one of us need to get under the spout and be covered in the anointing, because God is preparing us to do a work. God is preparing us to reach something. I tell you all the time, you have people that I can't reach. You have people that I can't touch. And until you allow the anointing to come into your life and understand the meaningness and the meaningfulness of that anointing, you will lose your influence in your community. I have called to God, and I said, God, where do you want to lead us? How do you want to guide us? And the Lord has directed me today to tell you that we need the power and we need the anointing of the Holy Ghost like we've never had it before. That we need to walk in the power and the anointing of God, covered and saturated. That we need to understand this is not something we can push off. This is not something we can say, I don't really need that kind of thing. But instead, this is something we need to grab a hold of and say, more, more, more. God, give me more, more, more. The anointing is not optional. The anointing is mandated. The anointing is not insignificant. The anointing is meaningful. I got news for you. The anointing is not clean. Somewhere we've changed the way we think. Somewhere we've come into a world where we've decided that the Pentecostal church has moved uptown. Now we're important. Now we're on the TV. But we got great Pentecostal preachers that are known as the voices of the gospel on the airways. Our Pentecostal churches are growing. One of our own sister churches, City Life Church in Tampa, Florida, Church of God congregation, just this week was named the 7th fastest growing church in America among any denomination. Man, we're getting important. We need to be dignified. We need to make sure that we've got the education behind us. Oh, I'm not anti-education. I love education. I done went and got me some education. And I ain't going to deny it either. I got me a bachelor's degree. And man, I like the fact that I went to college. But I'm going to tell you, I was called and anointed before I ever sat in any classroom. And when we start leaning on our degrees and our titles and our master's certificate and our doctoral thesis, and we quit leaning on the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost, then something. Somewhere down the long road, we've decided we want the anointing of God to be clean. Just a little dab. I got news for you. This ain't hair grease. Little dab won't do you. Some of you old enough to know what I'm talking about. Pastor Brian's looking at me like, what are you talking about? Brill cream. A little dab will do you. Dad lived on Brill cream. He didn't understand that commercial either. He actually used so much hair, Brill cream in his hair, that he would fall asleep leaning up against the wall in the sanctuary, and they couldn't paint that section of wall because the wall wouldn't hold the paint, because it had so much grease on it. But we've decided that just a little touch. Just, oh, come on. That's all we need. How many of you have been in church and you got anointed and the preacher got the anointing oil on your glasses? Why did he do that? You come out of church and there's anointing oil on your shirt. Oh, come on. Why did he do that? I went to camp meeting one time, came home. My wife wasn't with me at that service. And I get home, she goes, "Where have you been? Church? Why is there makeup all over your tie?" I'm like, "What?" All over my tie was makeup. The pastor, the evangelist, had been praying for the ladies here. And then when he prayed for me, he prayed here. And he had taken all the makeup off their forehead, put it on my chest. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. It was messy. Somewhere down the line, we have decided that the anointing needs to be clean. I'm about to mess with some things. The anointing of God can move on Sunday night, but you leave Sunday morning alone. Come on. That's what churches are teaching. Oh, come on now. We'll let the anointing move as long as we're done by 12 o'clock. You might as well get over that, folks. We ain't going to be done at 12 o'clock. Oh, the anointing is okay as long as it doesn't mess with me. But I got news for you. Pastor Brian, I want you to come up here and help me. Slide that right to the center there. The anointing of God is not clean. The anointing of God is messy. Somewhere down the road, we've decided it's got to be clean. Go ahead and kneel down there. Somewhere down the road, we've decided that we don't want the anointing to mess us up. We don't want the anointing to change our lives. Where did I leave my phone? In Psalms chapter 133, verse 2. David is writing about unity in the church. And I can't help but believe that David thinks back to the anointing that we read about at the first of the service. And he thinks back to the anointing of Aaron as he's being prepared for ministry. And he thinks about the beauty of that anointing. And he says, "For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe." This scripture doesn't have any historical backing. We don't have anything in scripture that proves that this is what happened. But the fact that I know that David was anointed and he heard the stories, I believe that he is working and moving out of his memory and out of his power. And I believe that what he's beginning to talk about is an anointing that isn't clean, but an anointing that begins to saturate. An anointing that changes everything. An anointing that grabs a hold of our life. An anointing that gets a part of everything in us. There is nothing left out. There is nothing left beside us. All of a sudden, the anointing is covering us. It is not just a little dab, but it messes up our life. It messes up our power. It messes us up until we can't get any more. We take all of it. I've come by here today to tell you, we need an anointing of God that'll mess us up. We need an anointing of God that'll flow through our hair, flow down our beard, get all over our clothes. I want an anointing that doesn't let me be in control. I want an anointing that takes control of my problems. I want an anointing. Stand up, brother. I want an anointing that as it comes down, it drips all down through us. You can see the anointing glistening off of him. It's not something that's going to be easily done away with. It's not something that just flowed in the moment, but it's an anointing that messes us up.
Church, until you get messed up by God, you don't have the power to work for God. You have not been prepared to do what God has called you until you have said, God, make me messy. Mess me up with your spirit. There is nothing more important than your power. There is nothing more important than your anointing. Ooh. His shirt is stained. His pants are stained. His socks are wet. You know what that means? That means his head has been anointed. His mouth has been purified. His heart has been covered. His feet are walking in the precious anointing of God. I've come by to tell you, we need to be covered by the anointing. Somebody praise God. You want to know the problem? Some of you are looking up here going, I couldn't do that. I'm not talking about the oil of the anointing. I'm talking about I got to do what God told me to do. You better put that phone down, girl. Because I ain't talking about an anointing of oil. I'm talking about an anointing of the Holy Ghost. From the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Mess her up, God. Mess her up, God. Mess her up. Lord Jesus, those deep things that nobody else knows about, those deep areas that she's held on to in peace and quiet, hoping that they would just go away. Lord, I want you to purify them with the anointing of your Holy Ghost and prepare her for the work that you have called her to in Jesus. I'm talking about an anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about a power of God that grabs your life and turns you inside out and upside down and messes you up. Church, we can sit here and we can play games all day long. We can come to church and we can sing songs and preach sermons if we want to. We can do whatever we think is holy. But until we say, God, mess us up, we don't have power. I'm tired of living and walking and preaching and pastoring in a dead house. I'm tired of living and trying to bring life in a graveyard. I want God to come in and I want God to cover us with His anointing. Here's what we're going to do. If you're ready to be messed up, I'm not going to beg you. I'm going to tell you, some of you ain't ready. Some of you are sitting there right now going, I ain't going nowhere. But if you're ready for God to do something in your life, if you're ready for God to take over, if you're tired of dealing with your own issues and you want God to deal with them, you're tired of facing the same trouble day after day after day, and you're ready for God to do something in your life, you're ready to do something for Him, I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat. And I want you to come up here. I'm going to spread this anointing around, and I didn't just grab a dab. And I'm about to tell you, the anointing of God is about to do something in your life. The anointing of God is about to send you power. The anointing of God is about to send you strength and send you mercy and send you grace. Kula mabadi atahaya, kula mabadi atakahaya, kula mabadi atakasanadi atakasi, kula mabadi atakahaya, kukuku kushama mabadi atadi atakadi atakasanadi atakas. Let the anointing of God pour through his life like it's never done before, Lord Jesus.
The anointing of God. The anointing. The anointing of God. Lord, the anointing of God. The anointing of God. The anointing of God right now. The anointing of your power. The anointing of your kula baridi andaridi atala baridi andaridi atakasi kula baridi atakahaya yola baba kukukukukukukukukukukukukukukuk. Lord, a whole new level. Lord, I want you to mess him up. Lord, he don't even understand it. He don't even know why. But Lord, I want you to grab a hold of him and mess him up, Lord Jesus. Kula baridi atula baridi atila bahe ala baba 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 karidi ataridi atakasi yola babi atakasi yandaridi andaridi atila baba baridi atakaridi atahaya. Prepare him for the greatest works of his life right now, Lord Jesus. Lord, let the anointing of God change everything. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke of heaviness, Lord Jesus. Let the anointing fall. Kula babehe, apa babehe, kala baridiya, la baba baridiya tahaya. It is the anointing. It's the anointing, God. Cover her. Cover her in the anointing. Cover her, Lord, in the anointing. Let the anointing. Let the anointing cover us, Lord Jesus. do one more thing this morning. I want everybody that can, I want you to come up here. And I want you to gather around me. I refuse to live my life with any more than all of the anointing God has for me. I refuse to settle for a little bit. And I want you to gather around me, and I want you to ask God to pour the anointing on me and mess me up. I want an anointing that changes everything. It's not about a pastor. It's not about a youth pastor or worship leader. It's about the anointing of God. And when the anointing becomes real in my life, then it becomes real in my message. And I want the anointing to be real. Will you gather around me and pray for me right now? Is not temporary. But when Samuel poured from the oil, the horn of the oil of anointing onto David. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord was on him from that day forward. When we leave this building, if all we did was shout in here, if all we did was get a dose of his anointing in here, that's too clean. That's too little. But we need to walk out those doors with the Spirit of the Lord upon us from this day forward. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your power. Thank you for your anointing. And let your anointing rest on our lives. Everywhere we go, everything we do, everyone we meet. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Shake hands, be friendly, tell somebody you love them, everybody, God loves them. And let the anointing go with you in Jesus' name. Amen.